The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 3. It's on page 740 of the Church Bibles. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice cries out, a voice says, "Cry out," and I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, beginning to read at the first verse, and can be found on page 3 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat unto the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be now so. Let it be so now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray as we stand. Jesus, would you speak to us through your word this morning? Would you challenge us? Would you renew us? And may I speak in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Do you take a seat? So I don't know what your week has held, but perhaps it has included some pancakes. It may also have included coming on Wednesday to join us at the Mission Area Ash Wednesday service, which was just a wonderful time to gather together as we reflected on our mortality and began the season of Lent together. And the season of Lent can continue together. That was the beginning of our journey to Lent, which we're taking with our partner churches in the mission area on Wednesday evenings throughout Lent. So do please, regardless of whether you were able to be there on Wednesday or not, come and join with us next Wednesday. We're going to be at Lawrence Weston, continuing to gather, to talk, to have refreshments, and to find out more about forgiveness, which is the theme of our reflections throughout Lent. So it would be lovely to have you there, and there's more information at the back. It's a chance to go deeper, and Lent is often a season of reflection and going deeper in our spiritual lives. And as we begin Lent, we are beginning a new sermon series, as Lucy said, with the title of The Wild Life. And Lent is often a time of stepping away from things. And so we'll be thinking about what it means to be in the wilderness, a place away, perhaps, from things. Ash Wednesday, as I said, is a time to reflect on mortality. It's often associated with repentance and death to sin, hence the ashes and association with mourning. And the passage that we heard this morning from Matthew helps us to reflect on this and on the love, grace, and power for new life that Jesus offers amidst that. John is described in the words of the prophecy that we heard there in full from Isaiah, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare a way for the Lord." John prepared people for Jesus. He prepared people for the kingdom that was coming close. He asked them to prepare largely by calling them to repent. This is quite an unfashionable and I think difficult word, repent. It means to turn around, to change direction, to step from one path onto a new path, from one way to the Lord's way. He called them to do that, to repent, and he baptized them in the desert. Why the desert? Why was he in the desert? Why were any of them in the desert? Well, we don't know for sure, but it's possible that John had been spending some time with a community in the desert who were there because they had stepped away from society, perhaps trying to find a new way. There are elements of the way that he was dressed and his food, all quite distinctive, which chimes with the rules of this community that was doing that. And that's likely to be why people came out to him in the desert. They were coming out of the city, and the city like them then like now, perhaps for some of us, is associated with a culture of indulgence, materialism, everything you want, and in those times also oppression and injustice. Arguably still now, the urban parts of our community are often there, those where injustice is strongest. And people were leaving that literally as a sign of wanting to leave what that represented. They were drawn to John and his message of renewal, a new path, a new direction, a turning around. But some of them seem just to have been curious. What's it all about? Who is this guy? What's he doing? We read that some religious leaders joined them, and John quite clearly doubts their motivation for being there. He does not believe that they're sincere in wanting the baptism that he is offering, a baptism of repentance, but feels instead that they're resting on the laurels of their inherited sense of entitlement to be one of God's people. He doesn't mince his words, does he, in calling them out on that very directly and with strong challenge. It's not enough, he says, to point to your lineage. God can transform anyone and anything, and his transformation trumps any background. Baptism was the symbolic act that John was using to mark people's decision to turn around, to seek new life, to die to their old life and be raised again in that symbolism that we have in baptism of going down into the water and coming back out. This wasn't an entirely new symbol. There's evidence that converts to Judaism were being baptized at that time, and ritual cleansing and washing was certainly part of the community which John may have been associated with in the desert, and of course part of Jewish life, that washing associated with purity. But the way that John was using it certainly was new, because he was baptizing everybody, regardless of whether they had a Jewish background or not. It was an equality, really, of saying, we all need this, we all need to turn, we all need to turn away from those things that have been hindering us and turn towards the new life, the new kingdom that is being ushered in. And this equality is radically demonstrated by Jesus himself being baptized. Even John seems to have been very taken aback by this decision of Jesus. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Surely he should be doing the baptizing. But Jesus goes through what we all need to. He symbolically dies and rises in the water, pointing forwards to the cross, where he will do that in a way that enables new life in all its fullness. He takes part in and models what every person needs to do. Passing into and out of water was a powerful symbol for Jews. It would have been reminiscent for them of crossing the Jordan, escaping from slavery into new life, a new land. But when they came up from the Jordan, they were given the law to help guide them and instruct them. And this time, as Jesus comes up from the water, it's the Spirit which is given. For it is the Spirit which guides us and leads us into righteousness. The Spirit descends as a dove, a gentle symbol, in contrast to John's violent and forthright language, and perhaps in contrast to the expectations of some of what the Messiah would bring and what he would be. The dove appears as it had after the flood, as a sign of hope and new life. It's also reminiscent of the language of the Spirit hovering over the waters as God's word speaks creation into being. I was interested to learn that the name Jonah apparently also means dove. And Jonah certainly preached repentance, didn't he? And perhaps this reinforces the link between that turning around that's needed and the coming of the Spirit. Certainly my own experience of the power of the Holy Spirit is that this is what makes that turning around possible, the living out of that anyway. It's so hard to do the things we know we should when perhaps they're not things that come naturally. They may not be things that are part of our habit. There may be things that are part of our habit that we want to turn from, and that's so hard to do in our own strength. But the power of the Holy Spirit enables us, empowers us to do that in a way that is beyond our natural strength. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see God's perspective. And I know for me in my life, when there have been things that I perhaps in my mind think are the right thing to do, but I don't really understand why or how I can do them. It's when I ask for God's Spirit to open my eyes that suddenly I see his perspective, his way of seeing that person that I need to forgive, his understanding of why a difficult choice might be the loving one, the one that will enable his way. And maybe as I speak, there are some of you here that want to go into the desert, so to speak, to flee what is around you, maybe even what is within you. Maybe some of you feel you're already there in a quite sparse place, a place of introspection maybe, of remorse, without even having chosen it. We may share the disillusionment with politics, with pleasure of many of the people who were drawn into the wilderness in John's time, wanting to escape all that that represented. John drew people into the desert, but it was Jesus that encountered them there. It was him that went beyond John's baptism of repentance. He modeled for us the baptism that leads to new life in the Spirit. He stayed in the desert after this for 40 days, but then he went back. And he sends us back too, but in his power. It's only the beginning of Lent. And maybe we feel that this does need to be a season of stepping away, of turning around, of asking for God's power to do that. And if we find ourselves in a wilderness place, or we want to go there, let's be encouraged that this can be a place of transformation, as it was for these people drawn to John. A place where we encounter God in a way that is gentle, but equipping and powerful. When the Spirit comes on Jesus, he is reminded that he is loved, the beloved. And so we too can be empowered by that knowledge that we are loved when the Holy Spirit fills us. But what does it mean to turn around, to find God in the wilderness, to be filled anew with his Spirit? In practical terms, well, perhaps there are some spiritual disciplines that would help with that during Lent. When we step away from things, we also step towards things. If I step now physically away from this lectern, I'm stepping towards the choir. When we move from one place, we move towards something different. And maybe some of you have given thought to what you're stepping away from during Lent. But what are you stepping towards, or who are you stepping towards, and how? There might be some practical new ways to pray, to engage with the Bible, some new disciplines that will help with that. For others of you, perhaps you haven't decided yet what it is you need to step away from. What is it that hinders you? I know many of my friends are giving up social media for Lent as something that they feel steals their time, and wanting to give that time instead to prayer. And so in a moment, I'd like to close by giving us time and space to hear from God. What is it that he is calling us to step from? How can we step towards him in this season? And to ask for his Spirit to fill us and empower us to make those changes that are so hard in our own strength. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, would you convict us this morning? Show us anything that we need to step away from, that we need to flee, just as people fled the city to go into the desert. And would you speak to us about how we can step towards you in this season of Lent? And Holy Spirit, would you come now and empower us to do that? We open our hearts and minds to you. We ask that you would fill us afresh. That you would come gently, just as that dove did on Jesus, and open our eyes to see your way, to see others with your love, and to give us the power to step into your kingdom more fully. Amen.
Thank you, Sonia. May I invite Stephanie up, who is going to lead us in our intercessions as we remain in this posture of prayer.
Holy God, as we begin our Lenten journey, let us be mindful of the temptation and suffering that your Son, Jesus Christ, endured in the wilderness. We ask that you would strengthen us as we find ourselves tempted in the desert of human faults, failings, and sinfulness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for your blessing on our congregations, all who minister to us, and all who give of their time and talents here at St. Mary's and throughout the mission area, and for your presence to be seen clearly in what we do and say each day. Please show each one of us how we can play a part in enriching the life of our church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, your love reaches out to the boundaries of our world, to those who have everything they need and those who have nothing. We pray for all your people, whoever they are, wherever they live, and whatever their circumstances, that the knowledge of your presence might bring comfort, healing, and restoration. Lord God, we pray for all countries that continue to be torn apart by conflict, hunger, and natural disasters. We particularly pray for people who have lost loved ones or been forced to leave their homes due to the earthquakes in southern Turkey and northern Syria and the ongoing war in Ukraine. As the grim anniversary of a year of war in Ukraine passed a few days ago, I will pray the prayer written by the archbishops. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus.